brother. There's proof. We just keep going on, don't we? May not feel the best sometimes, may not be the strongest in the world. You keep going on. Keep keeping on for the glory of God. Well, God's faithful, ain't he? You be faithful. You don't have to worry about him being faithful. He sure is. He real faithful. Got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of little book of 1 John, chapter number 2. Last two verses. And the first three verses of chapter number 3. Little book of 1 John. Over close to the book of Revelation. Try to share with you a few moments this morning from the scripture. What a blessing it is that God has preserved the word all these years for us. Thank God for his word. First John chapter number 2, verse number 28 says, "Now little children, abide in him when he shall appear. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world don't understand us. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Not as he was, but as he is now. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Turn me to the book of Colossians. I'm going to read two or three passages of scripture and then begin to look at some of them. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 says, "If you've been risen with Christ," verse number 1, "seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth." Boy, that'd be a change, wouldn't it? "For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." I want to read one more passage of the scriptures. These are so familiar to us, most of us probably could quote them. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Begin reading at verse number 11. Titus 2:11. "For by grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has had a word appeared in me, and appeared unto all men, teaching us." Somebody said a word, they're scared of this being saved by grace. I'm going to tell you that ain't all he does. Ain't all grace does. It teach you how to live. I'm talking about saving grace, Will. If you're not getting taught, you better check up and see if he brought salvation to you. He said, it says, "Teaching us denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." The Look what it says in verse number 3. That glory, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say in thoughts along this scripture this morning, many other ones, it's just simple thought. Folks, he's going to appear one day. He's coming. He's coming. You know, they used to have a saying when we was young'uns, coming. We'd play hide and go seek and they'd say, coming. What'd they say? Ready or what? Or not. You know what God's going to do? He's coming. Ready or not. He's coming. Would you pray with us? Our Father, we're grateful for the opportunity you've given us to break forth the bread of life this morning. Thank you for these songs and hymns and praise that have been lifted up to thee this morning. Our Father, we're grateful for them, how they lifted you up and give you honor and praise and glory. We know that salvation is completely by grace and you brought it to us and you're teaching us. No, Lord, you haven't left us yet. You're still our teacher. I pray your blessings upon this time together here today. May grace and strength and power be upon us. May you send forth your word now that it accomplishes that this pleasing to thee. And Father, we'll thank you. Lord, we'll praise should we look to you, because Lord, without you we can do nothing. But God, with you we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. And I pray this morning, let your word, the Father, accomplish that this morning, that's, Lord, that you would have it to do. I pray that you encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak, and God, give us all grace and faith for the journey that's still ahead of us. As we look at these latter days and your soon appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. What did he say in a little book of 1 John? You know, he said something very, very important. He said, now little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, he is coming. Thank God he's coming. He is. The Bible said every knee and ever going to bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord one of these days. But you know, I'm glad we can confess it now. Have forgiveness of sins and have a hope and a faith and a hope that we're looking for him. What a blessed hope that is. I don't see how people live with that hope. What did he say? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. This grace has brought us this great salvation. And so he said, I want to tell you something. Right in this passage of scripture, he said something, little children, abide in him. What does that mean, abiding in him? It means a dwelling place. It don't mean in and out. It don't mean that. It don't mean just visit him once in a while. But we abide in him. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. One thing, listen, it's staying in there, amen? It's abiding in him. It's living in him. It's walking in him. It's at night when you go to sleep, you in him. Get up in the morning. All night long, you in him. We must abide in him, walk in him, live in him. He is our life. What did Colossians say? He said, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Oh, listen, it'd be something. It will get our minds. Sometimes people are worried this. Well, I don't want to get too heavily minded to be any earthly good. We don't have to worry about that. Listen, we other way around. We too earthly minded to be any heavenly good. But may God get our minds off of the things of this world and get them on the things of God and set our affections, set our love, set upon things above. All these worldly things and things of this world going to pass away. It's sure as we sit here this morning or stand here this morning, these worldly things and earthly things is going to pass away. We must get our minds on heavenly things in Christ Jesus. Amen. I was reading, may read that passage of scripture at a while, but reading another passage of scripture over in the book of Deuteronomy. You know what he said? Amen. Verse of prophet read, I can say something about it now too. You know what he said? He said, told the parents, he said, when your children in the house, he said, when you're sitting down, talk about him. Talk about his word. Teach it to them. Amen. I thought to myself, if we'd done that now in this generation, we'd have to turn the TV off. We'd have to put away with things. Because I'm telling you what's wrong with America today. What's wrong with the church today? We don't have no home life. Listen, it's time we sit down and teach our children. Talk to them about the things of God. My daddy was right. He said years ago, he's one of them old timers, and some of the old preachers were saying the same thing, Brother Donnie. He said, just wait till we have a generation raised when them TVs started coming out. He said, just wait till we have a generation raised on them. I said, they ought to see it now. He said, it's going to be awful. Yeah, it's the truth, though. It's the truth. You know what? I'm glad. Thank God we didn't have no TV when we raised it. We didn't have time to watch one no more. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. We live in a generation not only been raised. Technology's got us today, folk. I'm telling you, talking about the Lord appearing. He said the latter days. He said perilous times shall come. Men's are lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God. That's where we are. If we could get people to get excited about God's house, you know what I'm fixing to say is, as they get so excited about just one thing, ball games. You look at somebody that rather played ball in anything. Listen, one day God said, "That's enough, buddy." He said, "I got something for you to do." If we could get people, and this is the truth, excited. You see, look at some of these stadiums. You don't see empty pews like this. You don't see empty seats like this, do you? Men, we folks, men and boys and girls, we live in the last days. You said, why? A falling away. That's one sign. Daniel 12 is another sign. Another sign, men should be lovers of pleasure and more lovers of God. That's another sign. And what's another sign? He said over in the book of Daniel, many shall run to and fro. And knowledge. Knowledge. Not a week don't go by that don't press on my heart. That knowledge is increased. And many running to and fro. You tell me, if we're not living in the end times, why'd we go thousands of years still traveling by oxen, cart, mule, wagon, horseback, and buggy? Why did we go that long? All of a sudden, this technology come. End time. Knowledge has increased. But you know what disturbed me? Simply this. He said, you ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge don't set you free. Don't watch it. Knowledge will bring you into captivity. Knowledge of the truth. The truth what sets you free. Knowledge of the truth. We can't change it. It's just coming. It's coming. He's coming. He's going to appear. He shares everything. He's going to appear. It's set for us to abide him that when he shall appear, he's not going to send somebody else. You know what he said on when he left here on that day in the book of Acts? He said, you men of Galilee, while stand here gazed up in heaven, the same Jesus is seen going like now. He's coming again. He's coming again, thank God. The same Jesus. Not another, but him. He's going to appear on the scene. Whew, I'm looking for him. He's going to appear, the same Jesus. I was witnessing, he's going to be with the Lord now, little brother Jerome Lewis. Was out one night, way back in the 60s. I hadn't been saved long, didn't know no better. I was telling him about what the Lord done for me. Hey, you know what? Worked in the daytime. We was taking an ice cream box somewhere or another. I was talking to him about the Lord. I was telling him the Lord was coming. He said, well, he ain't come yet, but he could have come all the time. It's time, any time. But you know what? He got scared. You know what? I got to tell him. I said, hey, you know what? I said, if the Lord comes and the little young'uns you got, you might as well kiss him goodbye, honey. They're going to pull out of here. They're not staying for this wicked mess that's going to happen out of him. You know what God got to deal with and got to work in with him? What long he got saved. Hallelujah. You know what? Hey, you say, well, he ain't come yet. Well, he still can come anytime. I'm looking for him. Amen. Joel heard us to tell somebody about the Lord that he's coming. He is coming, thank God. So he said, when he shall appear, may have confidence. That's a good thing to look at. Do you have confidence this morning? Oh, and he's coming. Are you saying, wait a little longer? Please, Jesus, sometime we got a song to get my loved ones in. I wonder sometimes they ain't wanting us to him. We want him to wait on us. If we want to get our loved ones in, let's get at him. Let's witness to him. Let's talk to him. But he said, be ashamed at his coming. Oh. He said, we have confidence and not be ashamed. Hey. I want to tell you something. I'm not ashamed of what my Lord done for me. Not at all. I'm not ashamed of this great salvation. And I do have confidence, thank God, all because of him, that when he comes, I'm going with him. Hallelujah. In other words, I got a living hope. I got a blessed hope. I got a glorious hope that he's coming. I got confidence in him. I know he'll do what he said he'd do. I know he's coming like he said he'd come. I know he's coming back for me one day. Hallelujah. He said in John 14, let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, I mean, he mentioned. I go to prepare a place for it. If I go, what did he say? I will come again. That settles it. And that on all is it. And receive you. Unto, he said, myself. He said something else. And where I am, there you're going to be also. You can't improve on that, Brother Raymond. There's no improvement on that. Seeing him. Blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have confidence. And we don't have to be ashamed. You know why the Lord told me a long time ago, said, don't ever be anywhere you'd be ashamed of if you see the Lord come. Don't ever be doing anything that you'd be ashamed of if the Lord comes. Because he can come two ways after you. Through death, or he can come in the rapture after you. Take us out. And listen, he's laid on my heart, and I hope he'll lay on every one of our hearts this morning. Don't ever be any position, any place, anywhere, anything that we'd be ashamed of. If the Lord come, that we have confidence and not be ashamed. You agree with that? That's the way it ought to be with us, isn't it? That's the way it ought to be. And you know what we ought to pray? God, help us to be that way. Help us by the grace of God. Hallelujah. We can have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Be glad to see him. Be joyous to see him. Not be ashamed at his coming. Well, if you remember being a young'un, it's similar to the way. You ever do anything you didn't want, you'd been ashamed if your mom and they didn't own it. Most of us did, didn't we? Well, tell you something. We ought to feel that way about our Heavenly Father. He's got an all-seeing eye, too. You know who we really are? Huh. Holy Ghost, just remind me this again. You know who we really are? Who we are when ain't nobody else around. We right by ourselves. Just us and God. We can put on we're around somebody. We can make out like we're something we're not. We just want to be put on front of somebody. But who we really are is who we are. We're right by ourselves. Just us and God. And I tell myself, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Amen. I want to act like you want me to act. I want to be like you want me to be. I want to talk like you want me to talk. And Lord, help me to even think like you want me to think. And think on good things. My wife helped me with that thinking. I told you about it. Somebody may not have heard it. We'd be going down the roads, traveling a lot. We travel a lot. You say, where'd you go? Well, we weren't too far away from home. Mostly Dothan, Panty. Most summers at Tallahassee, Pensacola. Summers at the hospital. Or visit, whatever. But we'd be going down the road, and nobody, and me and her, neither one hadn't sat down for a while. So, you know what she'd say? What are you thinking? Well, it take me long to feel that. I better be thinking something I wouldn't mind telling her. You'll never ask you that. But you know what got me to thinking, too? Got me to thinking, well, what if God said? He don't have to ask what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. You know what I like to think on? Good things. Lovely. Sweet. Good report. Not bad reports. I hear bad news. I don't like to think on that. I want to think on good things. Lovely. Sweet things. Amen. I do. So he said we won't be ashamed of him at his coming. You know who's born again? What did he say in that last verse? He that doeth righteousness is born of him. If you're born of God, your life's going to show it. You're going to have some life. Go into Colossians right quick. Chapter 3. I preached on all these verses, but I put them all together this morning. The Lord laid them on my heart. Verse 1, Colossians 3 says, you then been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what we to seek. Not worldly pleasures. Not seeking the things of this world. Not laying up things to leave behind. I've talked to different ones, including my wife, about before they left this world. And you know what she said about some things? Do what you want to with it. I'm leaving it behind, not taking it with me. And you know what? Lay up all we want to lay up in this life. You heard what she said about the millionaire. Somebody asked someone and said, how much did he leave behind? He said, all of it. Take nothing with us. You know why we ought to be giving? I heard one preacher say one time, and I agree with him. The only thing we're going to have when we get there is what we give away before we get there. Helping someone. Loving someone. Caring for someone. God sees all of it. He knows all of it. So it's seek those things above where Christ sitteth on the hand of God. That's why these things we see are temporary. Things that are not seen eternal. You know, a lot of people don't believe in God because they can't see him. Well, hey. Don't let that stand in your way. All the things you can see is temporal. God's eternal. Amen. Huh? He's eternal. I'll tell you what, how you can see him. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He told one of them, he said, hey, you mean I've been with, he said, show us the Father. He said, I've been with you all this time. You say, show me the Father. He's the express image of the Father. He was God manifested in the flesh. That's him. So he said, let's seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I like verse 3 and 4. If you're dead, you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You say, I've never seen. That's where the world can't really see. The only Christ they can see is the written word, living epistles that live through us. They can see the Spirit of Christ. But you know what? If Christ is living in us. But our Christ, who is our life, that is our life. We got our bodies, we got our, listen, first life from Adam. From the first Adam. And we got our second life from the second Adam. Which is a new life. Which has been born again. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God. Christ, who is our life. Now, that's where living really comes in. We give you a few other verses about Christ and being our life. What did he say? He said in chapter number 11, book of St. John, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We died ourselves, we buried with him in baptism, we arise with him in newness of life, and Christ is our life. He's everything to us. He's everything. We've been born again to the family of God. He's our life. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Real life. Real life is life in Christ. I'll tell you something. This world can get out and live any way they want to live. Do anything they want to do. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if it's a bottle or if it's whatever it pills, whatever it is. It's nothing to be compared with the life we have in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Thank God. I can go to bed at night, rest in peace, knowing he's my life. He's my own. That's why Apostle Paul said, me to live is what? Christ. And me to die is gain. Why? Because Christ is our life. He's what I'm living for. He's what's keeping me and sustaining me. He's my life. Christ is our life. Your life is hid with Christ in God, who, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's our life, but then he's appear, fixing to appear. He's coming. He is, I'm telling you, the one that really imparts life. I wouldn't swap one day of life of Christ all them days of a life without him. Not one. No way I'd swap. I'm telling you the truth. It's so wonderful. Marvelous. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I'm asking the question, do you have that life? Christ, who's our life, shall appear. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. Hey, you ever notice that in that verse of Scripture? He's not the only one going to do any appearing. He's going to appear. He's our life. And we're going to appear with him in glory. Grace of God appeared to us and brought salvation to us. Amen. Christ's going to appear to us. And listen. And guess what? When he comes, it's going to happen. Amen. Didn't Christ going to rise first? We which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what God's going to do? He's shaping us in his image now. We're born the first time in the image of our first Adam. Adam. We're born in sin. That's why you had to be born again. Bodily lips have been put on this day and hour by the new birth. But I'm telling you, that's the only way you're going to ever get to heaven. You got to be born again. Nicodemus said, you mean, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he get back his mother's womb and be born again? No, you can't do that. You got to be born of the Spirit and the water, the Word. That's what's got to happen. Oh, hallelujah. thank God for His Word. And so listen, we know what's going to happen this life. We're going to appear with Him in glory. You know, when he was glorified with Peter and John and James, Peter and John, wasn't it? On the Mount of Transfiguration, it was so good. I mean, His raiment just shone. Glory, the glory of God was shining through Him on that mountain that day when He was transfigured. And they said, boy, this is good. Let us build a tabernacle. Didn't say build one for them, so let's build one for Moses and Elijah. They was there too. Heck, glory to God. They'd been gone for a long time, but they come back. And God upon the mountain, listen, with James, Peter, and John. I'm telling you, it was so glorious, James, Peter, and John couldn't understand it. Too much for them. But it was good enough, they said, let us build a tabernacle for Jesus. And for one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Elijah. Hey. He said, build one for him. But you know what? God wouldn't let him stay up there. He had work to do back down here. Had to. But guess what? One day, this ought to excite you. When he come back, he gonna change this old vile body, this old house of clay, and fashion it into his what? Glorious body. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you missing some limbs? Are you missing some strength? Are you missing some teeth? Are you missing some other things? One of these days we're going to have a body like him. Glory to God. I get all my toes back. Hallelujah. But until then, I'll keep limping on. You know what? God, who's that wrestle with him? Jacob? Is that Jacob wrestled with him all night? God throwed his hip out. He limped, didn't he? But he knew he'd been with God. I'll tell you something. Are you aching in your body? Is your body getting weaker? You know what I tell them? A 50-pound sack now feels heavier than 100 used to. It's old weights. Used to they put weights on our feet, Brother Billy. We was practicing basketball, try to hold us down when we jumped, and we took them off and just go. I told him we don't need none now. We weighted down, aren't we? Age will help weight you down. But one day, glory to God, we're going to get a body that never aged no more. He's going to change this old vile body and fashion it to his glorious body. Hallelujah! It's going to be glorious. I'm telling you, he's going to appear, and we're going to appear with him. That's hope. That's blessed hope. That's glorious hope. Thank God he's got it. He said for us to worship him, praise him, he's coming. I was reading some more verses. I can't even remember exactly where it is right now, but he's talking about putting off an old man, putting on the new. He's put off malice and anger and all these things. Put them all off. He tells us what to put off. And he tells us what to put on. Put on the new man which is created in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God. He gives them instruction. He's going to appear one day. I want to appear with him. And he's coming. He's coming. You know what most folk going to do? Going to piddle around. I hate to say it. Waste time. And time gone. You know what I can look back to? Turn 70 this year, I can look back and tell you something. Tell you a few things. You better live as you go. And you better live for God as you go. You can't go back and back up. Now we know this little one. We're going to have special. Read some scripture. Have prayer in a few moments. And dedication of this little one. But I'll tell that mom and daddy. Tell him now. He won't be let alone. She won't. Mama was right. They're on your toes now. You may be wrestling with them a little bit now. But after a while, they'll be gone, be on your heart. That's it, brother. Brother Smith will wear a punt. That's what he knows. They'll be on your heart. We got a better day coming. Politicians won't bring it. White House won't bring it. It's going to be God that brings it. But folks, if you're a believer, you've been born again. Had your sin washed in the blood. There's a better day coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These old bodies wear out. They get old and frail. Weaker. But one day, He's going to change them. You see, the body's waiting for the redemption. It's been paid for. Isaiah 53. He's wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We're healed. A lot of people get confused about that. I say, well, you better hope he's bought that body. Amen. He has. That's where you're going to get up one day. Be like his. What a glorious thought. What a wonderful thought. No more sickness. No more sadness. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more. Going to be like his. What a Savior. What a body that's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Why in the world would anyone want to miss it? So it is Christ who is our life. Hallelujah. Well, here's them verses I was telling you about. Right around where I'm going. Amen. Let's look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Then he goes on down, tells us to mortify therefore the deeds of this body, the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. With seeing sake, the wrath of God come on the children that disobey. We have to mortify things. He said, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Some of us walked there. We lived in them. But now you have put off these. See, there's some things you got to mortify. There's some things you got to put off. Put off all these things. Now, if you don't, you can't get angry with me because I'm just reading the scripture now, okay? Take it up with God. But now put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, out of your mouth. Boy, I tell you, God had to clean my mouth up. And he did, thank God. Put it off. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Hallelujah. Get rid of that old man, all his deeds. Put him off. You said you come up with something new right there. No, you can't argue with me, can you? It's the word of God. Put it off. Put it off. Then he said, you got to put on something. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on that new man. Put him on. Hallelujah. We're created new in Christ Jesus. See? We bore the image of our Father Adam. Now, Brother Larry, we're going to bear the image of our heavenly second Adam, last Adam. See, one Adam sold us down the drain. Second Adam came, the last Adam, Jesus, and he bought us back. Well, that's shouting grand where we shout or not. Hallelujah. Now look what he says. Verse 12, put on therefore us, the elect of God, listen to what he says, put on. Here it is again. I'm going to close in just a moment. Holy, beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Oh, that's what we're to put on. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. Boy, I'm telling you. We don't forgive, he won't forgive us. And if you don't forgive, you must think you don't ever need done. But I'm telling you, he said for us to forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, there it is. So do ye. Therefore, you can forgive anybody for anything. You say, may I say I can't do it? We can, by the grace of God. Christ forgave us, and we got to forgive others. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. That's love. And I like verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called into one body. And be ye thankful. And I want to tell you something. If you really want peace, let's put off all these things he said put off. Let's put on all the things he said put on. And you can have a peace that passeth all understanding. You have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm telling you, you'll have a wonderful time in God. It will obey God and be forgiven. Hallelujah. Woo! We can love him and be loved of God. That's why he said, going back to 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father has thrown upon us, that we should be called sons of God. What love! He would call me his son and accept me as his son. What a wonderful God! It is the love of God that caused it to happen. He didn't say nothing to me to love me. He loved me while I was ungodly. He loved me while I was without hope. He loved me while I was a sinner. He loved me while I was without strength. But he loved me. Hallelujah. Thank God he loved me. And he loves you. Yes, he does. He sure does. He loves you. I'll find a place to stop on that. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I get to think about that we should be called the sons of God. Whew. Love. When Christ, who is our life, shall what? Appear. Amen. We shall appear also with him in glory. Hey, there's no time to wait. There's no time to waste. Now's the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful Savior that he is. Isn't he wonderful? He's marvelous and glorious. Folks, we're going to end this service on the dedication of this little one right here. Well, sitting right between his great-grandma and grandpa. Sitting in his... She's sitting in his... If I call him a he half the time, don't worry about that. Wouldn't I call anybody a he because all mine are girls and everybody. But she's sitting right on her daddy's lap. There's her mama. And some of her other grandparents back here. But you know what? God is the one. Amen. I want to just share a few verses of scripture with you. Then we're going to have prayer and dedicate this little one to the Lord. And you know, reminded what Jesus did. You know what he did? He took little children in his arms. He told them, his disciples said, forbid them not to come unto you. He's let them come. He took them in his arms. Let me just read it. And it's found in Mark 10, verse number 13. They brought young children to him that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me. Because he says, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. But I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive this kingdom of God, receive the kingdom of God as this little child, he shall not enter therein. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's multitudes like this in heaven already. I have these 11 of us youngers. One of my brothers right back there. It's 5 of us boys and 6 girls. We got a little, our first little baby sister, born 1929, is in heaven. She died at birth. Multitudes of them there. Not only is Jesus saying heaven's full of them are there, but I also believe he's saying this, just like that child was born in this family, you got to be born into the family of God. And you got to receive that if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Nothing like the blessings of God on our children. No way, no blessing. Also, I'd like to read some verses out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I believe it is. We'll find some verses. Very, very important. Also, I'd like to say before we read these, dedicating this baby today is no way imparting salvation to it. This baby will be covered under the grace of God. Find that from Scripture. Until the time of her capability, understanding, and hearing the Word of God and the Gospel. Come to that age of being accountable. Some says, how old is that? There's no certain age. Some come to it before others. But until then, you'll say, why? You got Scripture? Yes. David had a son, had a child that died. You know what he said? He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. We know that they're there under God's mercy and his grace until the time they're accountable. You said, when are they accountable? They're accountable when they come to the place they realize they're a sinner and they've sinned. That's when you're young. The Bible said, remember thy creed in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Also, so I'm saying, this today is a dedication. It's not. It don't matter if they're baptized, sprinkled, or have a dedication. That does not impart salvation to them. They will have to be born again when that time comes. But they're covered under the blood, under the mercy of God unto them. And also, I say to the mom and daddy, it also imparts, not only we're dedicating this child to the Lord, but we're dedicating also, it's a responsibility as a church and as parents for y'all. Dedicate yourself to the Lord, to rear her up in the fear of God and keeping God's commandments and his ways in the Lord and teaching her to observe all things that the Word of God teaches. So the responsibility, as we dedicate this child, is laid upon you as mom and daddy to do that to this child. And we, you know, I mean, and that's another thing. We can't expect to say, well, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord and then we're going to let it go. No, it's just the beginning. It'd be a constant thing in life. Get the Word of God. And I'll say to all of us, say to all us mamas and daddies, turn the TV off. Get the Word. And share the Word with them. You say, where do you find that? I can go to, you say, that's the Old Testament. Well, I can tell you it's full of good things too. So you can't do away with the Old Testament. And I'm going to read something here in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter. But get back to it. Verse number 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So he said, you got to get them in your heart first. And so I say to mom and daddy, say to all parents that are here today, we have to get the Word of God in our hearts if we're going to try to get it in our children's heart. That's what he said, you get the Word in your heart. And that's what he said in verse number 7. This ought to be upon ever. This ought to be shared. Verse 7 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, that's responsibility, isn't it? And shall talk of him when thou sittest in thine house. That's why I guess the Lord laid on my heart a while ago. I turned the TV off and started talking about God some. Amen. Now, people used to get mad at me because I preach against the TV. But it can be used wrongly. It can take up our time. I said our time. It can get mine too. But he said we're to talk of it when we're sitting in the house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And he goes on down and said, it wouldn't hurt to put some on your forehead and on your hand. He said, put them on the gatepost. Put them on the doors. Scripture. But I challenge y'all, as we dedicate this child today and have prayer, sweet, pretty little girl, that we'll pray. And you and mom and dad will, in y'all's heart, say, Lord, we'll talk about you. We'll teach her this word. And also, I want to say to us here in this congregation, this assembly, we take responsibility also doing what we can to teach. That's why we try to have Sunday school for the little ones, too. Teach them the Word of God. Amen. Sure do. I was amazed when Brother Donnie talked about the other day. If you just go to church 1 or 2 hours a day, it's no time hard at all that you spent with God, if you don't spend no other time. Donnie, what was that? Several of them, wasn't it? Tell us that again, if you remember. Listen. That's slim, isn't it? Oh, it's what they say in 1 hour a day. I don't even know how many hours in a week. I know there's 24 in a day. I ain't never figured out how many is in a week. But if you just spend 1 hour, that's what it is. If you spend 1 hour a week with God, that's not much time with God. Is it? If 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day, you got to have more than that. You got to have His Word, hiding it in your heart. We got to have it. We got to talk back to Him. Got to pray. Amen. Praise God. I want to ask y'all to come. We'll just come right up here and we're going to have prayer. I want everyone to just stretch forth your hand this way. Y'all see this pretty little girl? Ain't she pretty? And we're going to ask someone to stand. We're going to have a prayer dedication. Commit her to the Lord. Y'all just stretch forth your hand this way and ask God's blessing to be upon her as we pray together. Our Father, and our God, we come to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy for this little one today. As we all pray together, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate this little child. Precious in your arms. We can sense you now, Lord, with your arms around her and keep your hands upon her, blessed God. We do pray in Jesus' sweet name. I pray you keep a protection hand upon her. Now, Father, I pray that the Word of God will begin to be hidden in her heart even now. In the time come, Lord, you'd speak to her and she'd be born into the family of God. But until then, she's in safe keeping in your hands. Bless his mother, bless his daddy, give him grace, give him strength. Our Father, we do pray in a special way. Give him wisdom to know how to guide. May they dedicate their life afresh unto thee and submit unto thee this morning. As we, Lord, commit this one unto thy keeping and to thy care. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, O God, for it. Go ask it in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to ask y'all to do something. We're going to have a word of dismissal. And after that, I want y'all to come around.